Before we get into this episode, I want to let you know that tickets to The One, which is our two-day in-person leadership experience, are now available at early bird pricing. So if you're in Australia or New Zealand, then you're absolutely going to want to check this out. The One is designed to expand leadership capacity with big shifts reported from participants in confidence, communication, directiveness, solutions thinking, decision making, and even conflict resolution. You can check out the case studies over on the website of people who have already done this event and the results they experienced across multiple areas of their lives months later.
It has just been such a catalyst for change.
That's been more impactful, and I've had more revelations and light bulb moments go off than anything that I've ever looked at.
I feel like my perspective has completely shifted. It's been life-changing for me.
Do yourself a favor and get this locked in for yourself before prices go up. Grab your tickets to one of the events in either Australia or New Zealand over at theoneliveevent.com. It's also linked below. Welcome to the Lead a New Future podcast. I'm Kate Ruby Aroha, a senior leadership trainer with close to two decades of experience. The leadership I'm about is one that values respect and transparency while harnessing our ability to effect change. With a clinical background, I've worked within highly acclaimed leadership teams in the health sector of New Zealand before spending a decade facilitating advanced leadership experiences across multiple countries. And here's the thing about leadership. Leadership is just as important within our homes as it is within every level of our community, teams, and organizations. In this podcast, you'll find a variety of conversations that connect to our leadership and our lives, where we can impact what matters, where it matters. Let's get into it.
Oh my goodness, my heart is pounding and my hands are shaking. So thank you so much for that lovely introduction, but also for this energy. It's incredible. So hopefully I'll live up to all of that.
Thank you so much for being here. I just want to get straight into it. Can you take us back to how it all started? We just talked before about you, and I'm seeing you right there cutting. Was it your swimwear up?
Yeah, leotards were in fashion then.
Yeah. Can you talk us through where it started from and how the journey kicked off?
Okay, so the reason why this all began was because I was inspired to change the way women thought about being active. I wanted to design something that they could actually wear to work out, but also work in their everyday life, so that their amount of time that they spent working out was not limited to the hour in the gym, but also could be incorporated into their everyday life. I called it active wear because I just wanted her to put it on in the morning and be active. So that's the reason why. I mean, do you want to know the story?
I'd love to know the story, yes.
30 years. I'll try and cut it really short. Yeah. If I miss anything that you want me to talk about, then just
I'll fill it in. Old question. Yeah.
Okay, so roughly, I started when I was 12 because it was 30 years ago. I was a fitness instructor and I was teaching about 5 to 6 classes a week and in between – a day, sorry. And in between – teaching those classes, I was running around doing all of those life things that you have to do. And I found that I was actually getting things done and I was way more comfortable because I was wearing my workout clothes. But as I said before, they were, you know, leotards, fluoro tights, and I was getting a little bit too much attention running around the CBD of Brisbane than I really wanted. So I had the idea that what if I could design something for myself that was a little bit more acceptable on the high street, but that I could still wear to teach my classes. So I was living with a home ec teacher at the time, so she gave me a quick one-on-one on how to use a sewing machine because I'd never sewn before in my life. I went to Lincraft. Does anyone remember Lincraft? Yeah. Went to Lincraft, bought some Lycra, and I just started experimenting. Never for a moment did I think that I would turn this into a business or invent something. I just started wearing it to my classes. But the women in my classes had other ideas. And before I knew it, I was working all weekend, cutting, designing and sewing and making this active wear for the women in my classes. I remember it was about 3 months in And I'm standing here ready to teach my class, and I looked out and every single woman was wearing Lorna Jane. And it was an incredible feeling. And that very day I decided that I was going to quit my full-time job, because I was a dental therapist at the time, and start making activewear full-time. I started at home, and then I got a small studio in World Gym in Brisbane and a small store, and I'm talking tiny, you could hardly turn around in the rooms, and started taking it seriously. My husband came on board in about year two, and we opened our first retail store in Brisbane. I mean, it was a whirlwind. I just couldn't believe that the demand for this product was actually happening, and there was never a big plan. It was just, oh, let's open one store, and then someone said, why don't you open in Cairns, and why don't you open on the Gold Coast, and we'd like that, and it just grew from there. Before I knew it, we had 50 stores, and now I think we have 176 stores worldwide, and of course, an online business that never ceases to amaze me. China's a really big market at the moment, and I think more importantly, I've built a life and have found a calling and have an amazing group of women around me that make my life so incredible every single day. And I think that's the most important thing. We've built this great thing, and yes, I invented activewear, but the thing that I'm grateful for most is that I get to wake up every day and live this life that I'm just so grateful to have stepped into.
What so strikes me about you is that it's not like you had this big vision and then you had to work it backwards.
Yeah, I'm not that good.
it's similar to so many of the themes that we've been talking about in the last day and a half, which is you were following your inspiration fully and making the designs and doing it. And then the next step was the first store. And then the next step was the Cairns store. Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's fascinating to me, and a lot of the women we've been looking at today is what is their next step? Because sometimes we can get so tangled with a big vision and then that's overwhelming. But can you talk about that with how? What is your process with going to the next step and the next step?
Okay, so I think one of the most important things there for me is that if in those early days I could have seen Lorna Jane the way it is today, I would have run for the hills.
Yep.
Because I think having the luxury of starting a business from nothing and it's just you and your sewing machine and slowly building it organically actually allows you to get the knowledge and grow along the way. So it allows you to grow into your business, and then all of these changes don't seem so big. So I think the concept of Lorna Jane and being global and actually inventing something that has taken off all over the world, I just didn't have the skills or the knowledge to cope with that at the time. So I think taking those steps is incredibly important, that you allow yourself the time to do them in your own way.
Yep.
You can't duplicate someone else's story. You have to do it in your own way. And I think the scary thing right now is that because everything's on social media and everything you do is out there, it's difficult to take your own time. But I think you have to demand that you take it slowly or as fast as you feel comfortable. I mean, first steps are always scary. Whenever you step into anything that's new, you're going to be scared. You're going to have self-doubt. But I think that's part of the process. It's what you do with those feelings that really decides where it's going to take you.
Can we talk about that then?
No.
It sounds quite simple and easy. It's like, well, you took the next step and the next step and the next step. And I'm assuming there would have been challenges, many along the way. Can you talk about maybe even a challenge or dealing with the challenges along your journey and how that's shaped your journey and growing you and have you faced them? I just threw like five questions at you.
I know. You can, if I go off track, you can just throw one back at me. First of all, I think if you want, and this is all just my opinion, I really don't want to tell anyone what they should do, but in my opinion, if you want to live a bigger life or if you want to build something like a business, you have to accept that challenges are just part of the journey. I mean, you're never going to move forward in life or in business if you don't challenge yourself. I mean, that just makes sense. There's no growth or learning inside your comfort zone. So you have to constantly be aware and almost look for the challenges because they're actually opportunities to move forward. My challenges, wow, in 30 years, I'm telling you, I've had a few. I think the biggest, and I think when I look back, the biggest of all was being the earliest ones. And I think because I was less equipped to deal with them, so they felt bigger. And even now when I look back, they look really big. Yeah. And when you have to deal with them, and I'll talk about them in a moment, but when you have to deal with them on your own or just you and your husband, it's, to me, a little bit harder than dealing them with a whole team of women and all and this online community that just loves you. You feel like you have all this support. So the biggest ones were, the first one would have to be just convincing people that activewear was going to be a thing, you know. I had people that I'd known for years and I loved and trusted tell me that they thought I was actually crazy. I mean, we could see that there was women in my classes that loved what I was doing and they were wearing it, but how I was talking about it and that people were going to start like wearing it in the street and it was going to be the fastest growing category in women's wear, they just thought I was an absolute loony. You know, yeah, but you love exercising and you're really into fitness, but not everyone else is. And I said, well, they're going to be. You know what I mean? So this stuff is going to inspire them. So, I mean, that was the biggest challenge. And I felt really alone. And that's when I had to really pull on my determination and my self-belief to actually, because even my husband, who wasn't involved in the business at the time, he was even saying to me, you sure you're not taking this a little bit far, you know? He won't say, he'll deny that now, of course. It's a running joke. Yeah. So I did feel alone, and I remember sitting, I had a small little store in the downstairs of World Gym, and the guy who was running World Gym, Alan Bloor, he was the only entrepreneur that I knew. Okay, so I said, right, I'm going to just tell him about my idea, and I'm going to talk it over. And I remember Subway was next door, so we were sitting in Subway, and he just said to me, don't do it, Lorna. Just stay where you are and just do it as a part-time job and, you know, you're doing really well and you're here and the rent's really low and you're not really stretching yourself and it's safe. And I had to hold back the tears because I'm thinking, this guy knows so much more about business and opportunity than I do. But I held back the tears till he left and then, well, of course, I'm only human. But interestingly enough, I went on and I did it and I built stores and it's been a success. And 10 years later, I get a call from Alan. And I hadn't heard from him in 10 years. And he rang up to apologize to me and to say, you know what, I am so incredibly proud of you. And I just want to say sorry for trying to stop you doing it. And thank you for actually ignoring everything I was saying to you.
What a pivot moment.
Oh, that was incredible.
Yeah.
And then we went out for pizza.
Nice. Yeah. What a moment though. What hit you? Because it's so easy to listen to the voice of an expert, supposedly, over that nudge. What had you listen to this and not the expert?
It's a long time, so I'm not 100% sure, but looking back, I just feel when I get something into my head, I just can't let go of it. And I have these internal pep talks with myself about, well, what are you scared of? Failure. What do you want to achieve? I want to build this category and inspire women to work out. Can you do that if you stay here? No. Well, you're failing already. Just go and do it. Like I have this internal conversation with myself, you know? And I think you just have to take precautions and get ready to take these steps. But I think there does come a time when you just have to step into it and deal with what happens. And it's never as bad as you imagine it, ever. In 30 years, it has never been as bad as I imagine it's going to be. I don't win every single time, but most times it's a good result.
Really stood out to me when you talked about, so basically you have created a new category. You've led a genre that didn't previously exist before you existed. That's like, it's like forefront leadership.
I know. I mean, there's a lot of people doing it now. And people often ask me, like, how do you feel the activewear category is so busy now? I love it.
Yeah.
You know, this was something I started, and whether people heard it from from me or my brand, or just saw someone wearing it and decided that was a good thing, I might do this too. I just love that it's changing women's lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, we are in a crisis. You know, obesity is rising. People aren't exercising as much as they should be. We need this change. Mm-hmm. So I just want as many people as possible to get on this board. And whether you're a personal trainer or you're making activewear or you're just inspiring your kids to have a healthier lifestyle, I want everyone to get on board because you can't do anything on your own.
Mm. Yeah, amen. It's interesting. A number of, I know there's a lot of women sitting out here based on the conversations we've had in the last day and a half who are seeing things, who are going, oh, I wish that existed. Imagine if that.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah. And it was interesting because you just spoke to Sina, the word that stood out to me, you said it was lonely in the beginning. Can you speak to that? Because I, like, my hope is that people leave this saying to themselves, like, yeah, I can go and do that. And it's okay that maybe it feels lonely or it feels challenging. Can you talk about that first step and actually being okay with what can come up at the start?
I think I just covered that really, but I'm pretty pig-headed, I think, and I think it takes a special sort of person to be an entrepreneur and to think differently and not really need the approval of everyone. Mm. If someone disagrees with me, I'll always ask why. You know, and I'm the first worst person to admit if I'm wrong. I love my team proving me wrong. I love it. It's because they're thinking now and they're challenging me and I just want to be better. So whoever comes up with the idea, I don't care, you know. But first steps in anything. So I think there was the first step of quitting my day job and starting Lorna Jane full time. But, I mean, we do lots of first steps. I mean, first step into the USA, first step into China, first step into building online. I mean, all of those things was processes.
It was a new first step.
Yeah, and I can't remember it being harder on my own than with people around me. Mm-hmm. I think when things go wrong, it's great to have that support system. But I think in the beginning, if it had gone wrong, I would have had a support system anyway. You know, because they would have said, oh, I'm sorry it's gone wrong. I told you so, but I'm sorry it's gone wrong. You know, so whether you do it, in my opinion, whether you do it on your own or with other people supporting you, it's still going to be scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're turning your life upside down or you're making huge changes to what you're currently doing. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be scary. Mm-hmm. I mean, fear and self-doubt are preparing you. They make you get as organized as possible.
Ooh, say that again.
Fear and self-doubt. I forget what I said.
Fear are preparing you.
They're preparing you for change. You know, it's something that your body has. You humanly go through that. Everyone. Mm. I mean, we're all different people, but we all go through that at different levels. But the great thing is that the more that you step into your fear, the easier it gets. Mm. That's my journey, anyway. Mm. You still get scared. And well, even today, I was talking to Ashy in the green room. Was it a green room? Yeah, we'll call it a green room. Even getting ready today, I was nervous, you know, and that self-doubt starts to slip in and I think, oh, are they going to like me? Oh, I don't dance. Am I supposed to dance on stage? Like all of these things and like.
Did you hear that? And now can you feel so much more confident that people who are out there like just going freaking unstoppably, which is why I've just so wanted Lorna to be here and Ashy to be here because I just see the women who are fearless. Like let's also distinguish that in a minute, you know. Yeah. And they're doing it, but not because the self-doubt's been eliminated. They're doing it because they're following their passion. And so I just like just, yeah, that was a moment. Yeah. And I saw a lot of people go, oh, really? You also felt that? Will you still feel that at times?
Oh, yeah. I was madly on social media looking for, because I didn't know the schedule. She kept it a secret till the very last minute.
And she's like, I know she did.
Even we didn't know. To see who the audience was and what they were doing. And because I just so badly wanted to be able to contribute and give you something that you could take away and learn from. And because of that, I was nervous. And I think sometimes being nervous is an important thing because it allows you to prepare well and be at your best. Mm. I mean, if I'd just been sitting around thinking, oh, yeah, I'm going to go and do that, and whatever comes up, I'll just say whatever comes into my head, you know, it's not doing the right thing by all of you people who are giving us your time here today. So, yeah, I get nervous all the time.
Was there ever a point that you felt you wanted to give up?
That's an interesting question because any of you that know Lorna Jane would probably know that never, never, never give up is our catch cry. So it was interesting that you wanted to ask me that because it's embedded in our brand culture. Mm. And anything about the Lorna Jane brand is actually very personal to me because I didn't go out to develop a brand and I didn't invent active living and I didn't invent Move, Nourish, Believe. It was actually how I was living my life and it was what I thought was important in my life. So Lorna Jane is actually just an extension of who I am as a person. Mm. And this I'm never going to give up attitude is really who I am. Mm. I'm a little bit stubborn. Getting worse as I'm getting older. Is anyone else experiencing that? Oh, anyway, if it can get any worse. So it was interesting that for you to ask that question because for me there's a really big difference in feeling like you want to give up and actually giving up.
Yeah.
Because if you ask me if I've ever felt like giving up, so many times when things get overwhelming or you think you've been judged unfairly or the media is going crazy and building stories up about you that are completely not true and you feel like you're absolutely powerless. Of course I've felt like giving up and I've actually verbally said it to my husband, like, what are we doing this for? You know, I feel like no one's supporting us, you know, but it's that inbuilt never give up brand culture where everyone comes together. Mm-hmm. And even if I wanted to give up, my team wouldn't let me, you know.
The back door's locked.
Yeah, absolutely.
The key has been thrown away.
There's lots of chocolate and coffee and cookies and smoothies and all this thing that's going to make me feel good. You know, so what I'm trying to say is that it's okay to want to feel and to feel that you want to give up and to actually go through the emotions and allow yourself time to recover as long as you don't.
Amen.
Yeah. Don't give up. Because then they win, right? Then the force that's coming at you wins. And personally, I've spent so much time building this brand and it's become my life. I'm not going to let someone take that away from me or from the people who love this brand. So we've done too much and we've got so much further to go.
And it's interesting because you never quite know what's also going to be next, that not that any level of giving up would miss out on.
Yeah. I think when you build something, you're not going to give up on it. Yep. Even I remember this is years and years and years ago, and when you have a business, and it's particularly in an apparel business, every now and again someone knocks at your door and says, hey, I'm going to give you this incredibly huge amount of never be able to spend money for your business. Do you want to sell it?
Ooh.
And it's the same sort of thing though. Like I know it doesn't sound like it's the same, but for me the emotions were the same, you know. And I remember walking on the beach with my husband, who's the CEO of Lorna Jane, and he said, well, okay, let's just put ourselves in the scenario because this is what we do. We always put ourselves into the scenario of if we do it and if we don't do it, like step into it and live it. This is what our life looks like. He says, well, what if we did sell it? Like what would we do? And I seriously, without thinking, said, well, you know what? Maybe I could start another activewear brand and da-da-da. And he goes, what? Like, you know, why would you sell this and start something else? If you want to keep doing this, then don't sell it. And that made me realize that even when someone offers you a whole lot of money or people are attacking you, it's your baby and you're never going to give up on it.
Yeah, such fortifying conversations. Mm. How do you deal with stress?
Stress. You know what? I don't actually ever feel really stressed. It's only on a very rare occasion that I do. But if you'd ask my mother or all of my friends or maybe some of the people that work with me, they say, oh, Lorna and Bill, they're so stressed. I've got so much on. But we don't feel like that. And I think that because we built our business slowly, we've learned to deal with the stress. If anything, it actually comes out physically in our body. So I'll be at training and I'll say to my trainer, oh, my lower back's a bit sore or my neck's a bit sore. And he'll say, busy at work? Because it's more physically manifested in me. But in saying that, there's a lot of things that I do every day to take care of myself. That would be thought of as managing stress. So if you'd like me to share a couple of them, yeah, okay. So I meditate. And meditation is a bit of a weird thing because people think you have to learn how to do it. For me, 10 to 15 minutes in bed, just allowing the thoughts to go around in my head and getting a clarity on what's going to be important for today. So that's the first thing I do. You don't have to learn that. You can just do it. It's really easy. I exercise every single morning. Even if it's just walking my dog, I exercise. And I do that for a few reasons. To be strong, to stay youthful, for flexibility. But the most important reason is to get those positivity endorphins flowing in my body because I really want to step into my day the best that I can be. I eat really, really, really well. I honestly don't think I could do what I do at the speed that I do it if I didn't look after my nutrition. So I think that's really, really important. I think food is underrated because there is no way that you can think, act, perform, or do your best in life without good nutrition. And I think when people are getting busy and they're stressed about a new business, that's usually the first thing that falls away. Exercise, nutrition. It's really, really important. If you can't exercise, food. I get a regular massage, so that's the neck back thing. So 2 to 3 weeks I get a massage. But the one thing that I believe is my secret is because I think a lot of people do those things, not religiously like I do, but a lot of people do those things, is that, okay, so I work with my husband. He's CEO and I'm head of creative at Lorna Jane. So we have quite a big head office in Brisbane. His office is on one side of the building and mine is on the other, which is actually the secret to how we work well together. but quite often, because our roles are so different, we can have the whole day and not see each other. But every single evening at around 5:30, 6 o'clock, we walk our dog for half an hour, no phones. And we use that time, and it actually was an accident that it happened, and we just started making it a ritual. We use that time to download our day. So it usually does catching up on what each of us has done and what we've achieved and what opportunities have come our way. Sometimes it can be me just bitching and moaning about something. It can be coming up with solutions. It can be just being excited about a new opportunity. And we use that 30 minutes to just offload it with each other, come up with solutions, plans for the next day, and then it's over. So that really takes us from busy business life into relaxing with my husband at night. And it's the most incredible stress release. You can just feel it leaving your body. I mean, you wake up with it again in the morning, but that's when you meditate. So, I mean, I'd try it. If you've got a similar business, I would absolutely try it because it works. But no phone.
I love that. Sounds like you've got really key things that you're just non-negotiable on.
Yeah, and I think I've managed to build this life. It didn't just happen. I think we talk about work-life balance, and I think it's more about building a life that you love. So, you know, I love activewear. I love designing. I love working out. I love inspiring women. I love yoga. I love walking my dog. I love my husband. So I get to put all of these things into one life, and that's work-life balance for me.
That's beautiful.
And everyone has the ability to do that. You can create this life that you love. You just have to do less of the things you don't like slowly. Sometimes you can't, like, it has to be done over time, and more of the things that set your heart on fire. Yeah. Let's do that tomorrow. Put it on your to-do list.
It's really interesting. I can feel that from you. When I met Lorna just before up in the green room and met Lorna, and she's just, immediately you put me at ease, and I've found that work and the conversations I've had with you and even with your team, because I've noticed leadership filters down from the top. Mm-hmm. There's something about the energy of what you bring and the people in your space and your company that puts people at ease. And I just want to acknowledge you, because clearly you're a woman who's tapped into your own creativity and passion and real joy. And you've found things and developed things over the years at work that work and it infiltrates. So I just want to thank you for who you are.
Thank you.
And how you infiltrate in ways that are obvious and not obvious in the world, because you've made a massive impact globally. So can we just take a moment to actually acknowledge you?
Thank you. Thank you.
What does success mean to you, and have you made it?
The big question, right? For me, success is twofold, and I think success in life is what I just talked about. It's about creating that life that you love, and it is, as I said, as simple as doing less of the things you don't like so much and more of the things you love. Business, I haven't quite mastered that one. I feel like success in business is a constantly moving target for me. So as soon as I've achieved something, then I move the goalposts. Mm. And I'm not that great. My team are always reminding me, you know, my husband and I are not that great at celebrating. It's like, oh, that's great. Celebrate for a millisecond. That's one of my husband's sayings. Celebrate for a millisecond and let's, you know, we're too busy. We've got to keep going. And So do I believe that we are successful? Absolutely. I mean, I'm really proud. Thank you. I'm really proud of Lorna Jane and the people that I work with and what we've achieved. But there's so much more than we want to do. Mm-hmm. And the longer I've been doing this, the more urgent it seems to become.
Interesting.
Yeah, so but I think, what would I do? Like, I don't really want to get to that level of success where I feel. Mm. And I guess it's because I don't measure success by money.
Yeah.
Like, I think, of course, we have, there's just the two of us and a dog. My goodness, how much do you need? You know, like, it's, we could stop working now and be a success. But that's not how I measure it. I want to change the way we live. I want health and well-being, and of course wearing your activewear, to be a priority in people's lives, you know. And I think I'm going to get close in my lifetime, but I feel like I'll probably have to pass the baton on to someone else or a whole lot of other people to keep going, because it's a huge thing and it's not a constant. It's always going to be changing. Obesity levels go up and down, you know, the rate of exercise goes up and down. You know, childhood diabetes is incredible, you know. Like, I just, there's so many problems that the world is facing. There's always going to have to be someone here. And I'm not saying I'm the only one, please, but there's always got to be people who are fighting for that cause. And I don't think it will ever come to an end, but we just have to take our daily, weekly, yearly successes.
Mm.
That's, but in, on a personal level, I'm so grateful for the life that I have, and I get to do this thing that I want to do and I'm really passionate about, and I'm not sure whether I'll actually fully achieve it to where I want it to go, but on a day-to-day basis, it's success every single day.
It so strikes me how much you're pulled by a vision. Even you started off at your table with your quick unpick on your swimming tights.
I love a quick comeback.
Yeah. And it's grown organically and intentionally and organically and intentionally. Mm. And then you're this woman with this huge vision that could retire, but there's no way you'd be able to because you're so pulled by what you are committed to. So it's beautiful.
Thank you. And I, talking about retirement, it's like, I don't know whether anyone else has a business or where you're at in, I'm sure we're all at different stages, but my parents are always asking me to retire, you know, and even my sister will say, when are you going to relax and retire? You know, what is this thing about retirement that people think is good? Mm. Wouldn't I just take a holiday? You know, maybe I 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 week holiday, have a few cocktails by the pool, relax, and then have something purposeful to come back to. Like, I just, don't understand this obsession with retirement that our societies have.
Mm.
Boring.
Mm. It's. I love it. It's interesting because we've had so many different just different flavours of leadership, we're calling it this weekend. And we had Constance Hall last night speaking, and there was such a similarity in the context that she was saying how, we really got clear last night. She's not doing this for anything except for she cannot not do it.
Mm, I know.
And that's what I'm hearing as well. And it's interesting that's that. And what a lot of women, we're really opening up to is like tapping into that thing that is just a natural expression of yourself. I'm curious with business, is it what you expected? And is there parts of it that you like and don't like?
I'm 100% an accidental, fluked it businesswoman because it was never my goal. Mm. It just happened over time. So I guess I never really had any preconceived ideas of what owning a business would be like. And I think I said earlier, if I had an idea, I probably would have run for the hills, I'm way too organized for my brain. What do I love about having my own business? Oh, I get to wear activewear every day. but I think it's the freedom. It's the freedom to design and create and inspire with total authenticity.
Mm.
Nobody's telling me what to do. Nobody's telling me these are the walls that you have to be creative in, and you can't say this and you can say that and all of these things. It's that creativity and the ability to be totally authentic. Mm. What do I not like?
Yeah.
I cannot stand managing people.
Mm.
If you come to work for me, you have to be self-motivated and hardworking and very organized, because I'm happy to inspire you, I'm happy to teach you, but I will not manage you. There's so many people I feel, and I see this in small businesses, you're a graphic designer and you're incredibly creative and you start your own business, and then you get another 5 graphic designers and then you become their manager and you start to hate your job.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen it too many times. And plus, I'm really bad at managing people because I don't just manage them, I micromanage them. So I don't really want to know all those things, because then I get right into the detail.
Mm.
And I want to be popular, and then I won't be popular. It just starts, things go bad.
Yeah. It's fascinating you said that. Reminded me of a few years ago, we were building our team, and we had 5 team members full-time working for us, and I had clearly put the wrong people in the job, and I ended up having a full-time job as a cheerleader, motivating and encouraging people to step up and do what they really should have been doing if they had been the right people on the job.
Mm-hmm.
And it was painful to go. Phew.
And tiring.
Exhausting.
Yeah.
I created a second job for myself rather than freeing myself up. So it's good to know your skills and good to know then who you need to support you in there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Amazing.
And it's interesting, if you have one person in your team that's just a little bit off, usually they decide to leave because they realize it for themselves. But as soon as they're out of the environment, everybody leaves.
Yes.
So it's really important that you get the right people around you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's quite easy when you have a small business. Mm-hmm. But as your business gets bigger and you're not all in one room, it gets a little bit more challenging.
Mm. Is there any tips for that out of
other than sitting in every single interview? Well, I think as a leader in a bigger business, I think it's important that you set the vision for how you want your business to be, the conversations that are going to happen, and the type of people that you want in your business. And then you just have to trust the people that work for you to stay within that vision. But it is hit and miss. It is, you can do all of the work and someone can interview extremely well and then they start working for you. And it's usually around when the 3 months is up, they just show their true self. So it's a constant. But I think if you do that work in the first 3 months with someone and really let them understand what you as an organization wants and needs from them, then you're both playing your part. I think a lot of people just put someone in a position and expect them to get it.
Yeah.
Getting a good employee is a two-way street. That's what I'm trying to say. It's like they interview well, you love them, you put them in the position, but that's just the beginning. You have to work with them and understand how they're going to fit. And they might not always fit into the position that you originally employed them for, but there would have to have been something that you saw in them that made you want to employ them. So it's about in that first 3 months really finding their fit within your vision. But it's difficult, and you know, we have a lot of people working for us, and you can't have an intimate relationship with every single one of them. So it is one of the challenges of having a bigger business.
Sounds like the culture of what you have created is a part of also what possibly trains people in. What is leadership to you?
I don't actually think of myself as a leader, which is because I've never really wanted to be a leader. You know, I just want to do my own thing. But it's happened, of course. Having a big business, you have to lead them. You have to lead these people. So for me, I put some thought into this. For me, being a leader is about living your life with passion and purpose. It's about going after your dream. It's about being authentic. It's about working hard. It's about never giving up. It's all those things that make you who you are. And I think that is the biggest inspiration, and that will allow you to have the most impact on the people in your life than you actually saying, I think you should do this and I think you should do that. I think you inspire people by living your best life and doing amazing things with your life. And not just the people that work for you, but the people that just come in contact with you. And I think that's the biggest gift you can give to anybody. Is actually inspiring them to actually do their own thing and get a little bit of what you're having by stepping up.
That's so what I get from you.
Oh, leader. Thank you.
It's awesome.
Darn it.
How can we support each other best as women?
I don't even know why that's a question. Sorry. I know it's a question. I know it's a really a thing that's going around. I mean, why wouldn't we? Why do we feel? Why is there this thing out there that men don't compete against each other but women do? You kidding me? Men compete against each other, don't they? I've seen my husband play table tennis. It's incredibly competitive. No, but we have to just let people, we've got to let that go. I mean, I don't think women are any more competitive than men. And we shouldn't feel that we have to be, we shouldn't feel that we need to compete with other women. If another woman has success, we should be happy for her. Well, regardless of whether she's a man or a woman, I guess, because there's enough opportunity out there for everybody.
Amen.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
And another thing, I really don't like this, but I feel like because of the way social media has changed our society, we are less trusting of people. You know, we've been through this phase where people are getting paid to endorse things and seem to support other people, or they support someone because they want to be seen on their feed, and then someone might see them and think they're friends. And so there's a lot of fakeness going around. And what I would like to see and what I strive for is to actually be real, be trustworthy, be authentic, so that when you do support someone, people know that it's the truth. And while we're at that, I think we need to do what any friend would actually organically do. I think not just, you know, share their, not just supporting someone, sharing their posts, buying their products, turning up at their events. I think we just sit there and say, yeah, we support this, but when do we ever as a society now or as people do things for other people? We've forgotten how to do that. You know, I've got a story, and my mother's going to kill me, but she's not here, so anyway. She's on a cruise. She won't even hear this. And this is not really supporting women, but it's just what I see people doing. And I really think, and because I've got an audience, I'm going to talk about it because I hope it can have some impact, is I went to we were getting a marketing award probably about 5 years ago, and someone else getting an award at the time was someone who had done the milk ads, and he was a guy that had his own dairy farm. It had been in his family for 80 years, and he nearly lost it because the big corporations, I'll name them, Coles and Woolies, had been making him sell his milk at a price where he wasn't making any money. So he decided to actually start manufacturing and processing his milk himself. So he had built his own marketing strategy, won an award for it, and he was doing really, really well. I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. I'll remember it as soon as I get in the car. who is it? Sorry? Yes. Okay. Fantastic. Thank you. Scenic Rim. So I remember telling my mother this story and saying, you know what? We need to stop buying milk from Coles and Woolies because they're trying to kill our dairy industry. And we need to buy it from Scenic Rim because they're trying to build and support dairy farmers. And it wasn't just my parents. It was all of my family. We were at a family dinner and everyone's going, yeah, yeah, yeah. After that, I subsequently went to all of their houses, not looking at their milk, but actually saw that they were still buying their milk from Coles and Woolies. Mm. So I mentioned it to them again, same result. So my family are good people, you know, and they get behind things, but it was too inconvenient for them to find where this milk was being sold or to pay that premium for this milk to help these farmers. And I think we're all guilty of that. And I think what I've started doing is checking myself on it. I mean, if I say something, I'm going to follow it up. You know, if I say I want to support women, I'm going to support women. You know, so I think that's a big lesson in how our society has changed us. We all have an opinion on social media. We all get to say what we want. I mean, I have 15-year-olds critiquing my fabric. You know, what do they know about running a business or fabric, for goodness sake? You know, but they all have an even voice on the platform, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but we have to keep it in perspective, right? Yeah. So, yeah, don't just say something. Do it.
Well, I want to say, yes, let's take that moment.
Yeah, thank you. It's important.
So here's what's cool about Lorna is she's just said these beautiful words, but she also lives them.
The twice.
Some good England going on today. The two times that I've spoken with Lorna, both times she said, how can I support you? And it's been, how can I support you? What can I share? I see you up there again. And then it's like, I want this to be a success for you. How I'm going to be sharing. And so you back up your words with action. And I just want to really acknowledge you for that, because sometimes we don't know when people are speaking if they're backing it up with action. And I also want to point out Ashley Bynes, because Ashley reached out in the exact same way. And these are women who are up the front, in the forefront, being the leaders behind the scenes that they say they are. And that's freaking extraordinary in my books. Ashley reached out and is like, how can I support you? You shouldn't know me from a bar of soap. And the whole time her and her team has been supporting us. So I just want to say thank you for being the women that you say you are.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
But can I say,
because
I still have a mic on, that what you're doing is incredibly important.
Thank you.
And it's not just, and I'm sure Ashley is a nice person, I'm a nice person, but we're not doing it because we're nice people. We're doing it because we believe that you are making a difference, and what you're doing is important. That's why we're getting behind it.
Thank you.
It is really important.
Thank you. Fantastic. We could keep talking forever, but we're going to stay to time and honour the time that we committed to. And that was such an amazing conversation. I can just feel everyone's got so much out of it. Thank you for being you. Thank you for existing with your creative, beautiful expression and doing what you've done and creating the ripple effects at the level of activewear and impacting women's lives and getting people fit and active. And thank you so much for everything.
Thank you. Everything. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Amazing. Can we give...
Thanks for listening to the podcast. This is a reminder that if you're in Australia or New Zealand and you haven't yet got your tickets to The One, then go to the website now, find the location closest to you and get it sorted. Early bird tickets will be ending soon.
Man, massive breakthroughs, like unbelievable.
Having the balls to actually be myself and not run away from challenges that I've probably run away from in the past and take them head on.
It's taken me to another place. Yeah. I'm just not the same person that I was when I walked in.
If you get an opportunity to experience this event, do it for you and everyone around you.